Please be seated. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Today we're going to take a trip with Noah on the Ark. I first of all, though, want to acknowledge that I'm sharing and speaking with you in the name of God on the unceded territory, traditional territory of the Stolo First Nations. On this Sunday, where we are as Anglicans deeply committed to a time of life and journey of reconciliation. Noah's Ark was all about reconciliation as well. Though most people reading that story and understanding that story never get that message. As I shared with the children earlier, there was animals on the Ark that were normally grumpy with each other or afraid of each other. But the idea, the story early in Genesis was we have to get along on the planet Earth. And the Ark is symbolic of the planet Earth. We don't get that normally. So how do we get to that point? Because mystically, we understand the Bible, and we're blessed here in this parish. So many here are mystics and are part of the mystic community. Because at the mystic community, we go deeper than the words, deeper than the facial meaning. You go into the spiritual meaning of the scripture. And then it makes scripture make sense. There's a great little book out, How to Read the Bible as a Mystic. I wish it had been written years ago, and if I had the money, I'd buy one for every priest in the diocese and for every Bible study. And I recommend it to you here. Read the Bible Like a Mystic by Carl McColeman. He was a very good person of helping us understand mystic Christianity and mystic spirituality. For at the mystical level, everybody is united. Jews, Muslims, Christians, all the Abrahamic faiths, but more than that, the Buddhists, the Hindus, lots of people are joined together with understanding, while there's many different names, there is only one divine power, the ground of our being. And I hesitate to use the word God because it has so much baggage in our current time. The word has been misused. But we have to get to a point of deeper understanding of divinity. So how does all this work with reconciliation? Well, we in Canada, 100 years ago, and Anglicans were a part of it, and even longer than 100 years ago, 200 years ago, we came in with our understanding that somehow we were superior and that everybody who wasn't a Christian like us was a pagan and the pagans were bound to go to hell. We didn't have that deep understanding that we're all connected with God in our own unique spiritual journey. So our understanding is everybody who wasn't us was a pagan. We try to force that upon indigenous people in our country. And the result we know of today was brutal, was genocidal. And we are now trying to make amends and become allies, become one, and recognize that we're all on a journey together, different but yet together. This is vitally important. What I want to share today is some new tools that we have on our journey together. Because many of you have shared with me and with other clergy and have been for a long time, we are people of faith, but a lot of people around us are not having their faith anymore. And I don't know what to do. And I appreciate that. And I'm suggesting that the new tools of understanding that I want to share this morning can help you respond to the concerns of your family or your friends, so that you can have a communication with them that perhaps will open new lines of allyship and reconciliation. Because what we're about is reconciliation. The readings this morning, the gospel and the other readings, were all about reconciliation. Reconciliation is more than us coming together with First Nations. So on our journey this morning, we're now in the ark for the next 40 days. But I'm not going to preach to you for 40 days. Not even 40 minutes. Clarence would be unhappy. So would you. Mystically, we are together. And as we travel, I want to share with you four elements that what I call my hermeneutic, my theology as a priest. Because I worry about the future of the church, and I want the church to continue long after I've passed on. The first is that I see that God is in us, in me, and in you, and that I am in God and you are in God. That we are, there's no I-it relationship. It's an I-thou relationship, that God and us are one together. And that's called panentheism, if you want the big seminary word. And as panentheistic people, we have an understanding that God loves all of God's creation. All the humans, all the animals, all the trees, everything, it's all one. God has an influence and is present with all that God has created. The second thing is that we form an I-thou relationship, that nothing is outside of God's love. It's not I-that, the I or thou it. That's when we made that mistake 200 years ago, when we started to think of First Nations people as somehow less than us, rather than seeing them as equal with us, but different. But now we have come together, and everything is an I-thou relationship. It makes it challenging, because there's people who we have trouble with, but we still have to see that we are in with them, and they're with us, and God is with all. And so we have to work at that. The third is process theology. That is that God is on a journey. Not just in the ark, but God is on a journey with us. Everything wasn't resolved at creation. It's still ongoing, it's still evolving, and we're on a journey, and God is revealing, and we're understanding more. The Anglican Church has done that since 1976. That's quite a while back. I remember when it all happened. And that was the beginning of making major changes in the Anglican Church. And where we accept people who are of all orientations, all backgrounds, and we also understand that we are a nation built on people of all colors and backgrounds. So, but we understand that God is with us all, and it's a journey, it's a process, and God is always evolving with us, and the evolution is in the universe. And lastly, that the Bible is composed of a series of divinely inspired stories. The scripture is not a book of history. The scripture is not a book of science. The scripture is a book of inspired wisdom stories. And that as people who are mystic, we understand the truth of those stories. And they come to us first in an oral tradition that people shared and spoke for thousands of years before there was reading and writing. The Old Testament was not written down until the Babylonian exile. The stories were written down about 500 BC. And the New Testament was not written down for a long time. About 40 to 100 years after the time of Jesus was all the writing done. So it's from an oral tradition. So what are some of the new tools that can help us spread the word today with people who are skeptical? I had invited many of you, all of you, to look at a couple of podcasts. And some of you did and have given me feedback. Boy, that was tough. Sorry about that. I want to give you just a quick thumbnail of what it's about. Because we are really a part of the Noetic Covenant. The covenant with, it's not the Adam and Eve covenant. The Noetic Covenant is that after the flood, we are all part and connected to Noah, and we're supposed to love one another and love everything on the earth. But most Christians have never even heard of it. I don't think in the Middle East they've heard of it. So I invited you to look at the podcast for talking about this with talks with Dr. Ian McGilchrist and Dr. Philip Goff. I want to give you a brief summary. First, Dr. McGilchrist, who is a psychiatrist researcher, talked about the right and left hemispheres of the brain and its impact on us. We must remember that this impact is true for all human beings of all time. It was true in the time of Jesus. It was true in the time of those who represented as Moses and Noah. And anybody else you want to name. All humans and all mammals have these two brain hemispheres, and their impact influences the storytellers and the writers of both the Hebrew scripture and the Christian scripture and the Islamic scripture, and all spiritual peoples, as well as spiritual listening, reading, and remembering. If we're going to truly be working at reconciliation, we must consider the mindset of the teller and the writer, as well as the listener and the faith follower. All people throughout all ages have been influenced by the left and right hemispheres. So what does this mean? How does this build a future understanding for us as Christians, spreading the word and moving forward? The older views of specific roles for the left and right hemispheres are wrong. For in fact, the hemispheres work together and communicate continually, but they do have major functions. The right hemisphere has evolved as the dominant hemisphere in our brain. It's a right hemisphere that alerts us to beauty, excitement, harmony with ourselves, with others, with nature, and helps us gain pleasure from what we see around us, and more we reflect from within. Its goal of the right hemisphere is to find beauty, truth, and goodness. The left hemisphere is the servant of the right hemisphere. It is the one that does the grabbing for an individual maintenance and survival, the hard stuff of living. And it tries to overwhelm the right hemisphere and will make up rules and oftentimes make up facts that don't really exist in order to try to dominate and survive. Together, the two hemispheres are like a pair of lenses through which we see and live life. As mystical, spiritual people, we are dependent upon the right hemisphere, which opens up the truth for us in our daily lives, as well as the scripture, and our love relationships with ourselves and each other and the whole environment. The biblical stories as we read them. We see all humans and their interactions, that a lot of the left hemispheric actions have overcome the right hemisphere inclinations in their thinking and decision making. This is taking them away from a loving God. It's also key to understanding how this happens. Stressful situations have allowed the left hemisphere to run wild over the right hemisphere, which often ends in catastrophe. It resembles the fight of twin brothers, Jacob and Esau, which is true meaning of the biblical story from a mystical viewpoint. We need to consider the hemispheric brain dynamics of people around us and people who were before us as we seek understanding and reconciliation. It is my thought that Dr. McGilchrist and his insight applied to faith will deepen our faith and allow us to have more comprehension when we read the scripture. In addition, when we talk with family and friends who have serious questions such as, how could God let this happen or that happen? We can assure them it wasn't God letting it happen. It was human beings who allowed their left hemisphere to take them away from their right hemisphere as a fear response and justification. God's love will be the solution in time. His evolution never stops. Consider also the important work of Dr. Goff, who assists us in reconciliation. His work in the philosophical area of answering, from where does consciousness in the universe arise, is a philosophical discipline known as panpsychism. His thesis is that an awareness from before the time of creation, from the beginning, that all energy of creation has consciousness. All of the cosmos has a consciousness, which comes from before time and the Big Bang. It is an amazing insight. All material realm, just think of this, all material realm has at its foundation a consciousness, which Dr. Goff at one point was an atheist, but this realization has moved him to come back to his faith. He now practices as an Anglican. Goff additionally points out to something recently detected in science called fine-tuning, which scientifically demonstrates that all the conditions were absolutely perfect for the evolution of life on Earth in the cosmos, including upon Earth. It's a strong realization that many hard-nosed scientists who were once atheists have come to have a sense that there is life, an evolution of life in the cosmos, and has brought them towards an understanding there is something divine happening, and has brought these people to a sense of faith. Both these learned people have given us powerful tools. So now we're mystically back on the ark, looking around after the flood. You see that all life has found peace and built community. The right hemisphere's insight and qualities have prevailed, and reconciliation is underway. The left hemisphere has built rules within the creatures, allowing them to have a harmony with others, which is God's plan. Reconciliation is key to our Christian identity, as well as the identity of Jews and Muslims. In Jesus, we are reconciled with God, and God is reconciled with us. We all come from Noah, who was the first to experience God's thrust for reconciliation in the myth story of the flood. We are called to love. Seeking vengeance is not a God-centered value, nor the value of the Noetic covenant. Today marks a time in history, a great time in history, and we must proclaim the truth of love and reconciliation, the core of the ministry of Jesus, our Savior. May the power of the Holy Spirit that we affirm and join in Holy Communion with the divine ground of our being who is alive, inviting us mystically into the evolving future of the cosmos, and is walking with us in spiritual peace, harmony, and justice as we seek that which is good, beautiful, and true in creation. We are part of the mystical oneness today in the Holy Mysteries through the Eucharist, but also just in our journey together as people of God. May God bless us all.